Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, glory to God, hallelujah, for another opportunity to come into your sanctuary, to come, glory be to God, for the people of God on tonight, on this Word Wednesday. In the name of Jesus, we pray your blessing upon this time together. Let us pray. Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we believe by faith right now that the Spirit of the living God is about to move through this place. We thank you for every viewer, every listener, in the name of Jesus. We believe by faith that your word will not come back void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. Now, God, bind up any adverse spirit, bind up any demonic force, God, against your people in the name of Jesus. Remind them that you have a wonderful plan for their lives. Remind them in the name of Jesus that they are already more than conquerors through your word. Remind them, hallelujah, that you, God, in the name of Jesus, is watching over your word to perform. So we thank you and we praise you and we honor you on tonight. In Jesus' name we say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I feel a stirring in my spirit on tonight. Thank God for the viewers. Thank God for you who are assembled in the name of Jesus. If we can go to the book of Romans, even as I begin tonight, that's not where I was going to start. But we're going to start there, and then we're going to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. But the book of Romans, chapter number 4. The book of Romans, chapter number 4. Because tonight we're simply talking from this topic, becoming a strong believer. Yeah. Yeah. Becoming a strong believer. Because in the times in which we are living, we have to increase our belief in the things of God. Hallelujah. Remember the story over in Mark chapter number 5 or 4. Jesus comes to Jesus and he asks him, my daughter is ill and sick, can you come and heal her? Jesus is coming with Jesus to heal his daughter. And then the woman with the issue of blood comes from behind and oppressed, touched the hem of his garment, and her issue of blood dried up, and he had a conversation with her, and time was going on, glory be to God, and as time elapsed, the Bible goes on to say that they came to Jairus' house, and they said this to Jairus and Jesus, and all those listening. One of the reasons I want to talk about becoming strong believers, they said to Jairus, he's already worried, he's already in fear, and they say, your daughter is dead.
Yeah.
Why bother Jesus? Why bother the master any longer? And Jesus, immediate words before there was those negative words to plant seed, before those negative words to take root, before those negative words to get in and be hard to get out, Jesus immediately said, don't be afraid, only believe. And that's what somebody tonight. Fear is trying to come in. Doubt is trying to come in. Unbelief is trying to come in. And my word to you is just believe. Yeah. To God be the glory. But Romans chapter 4, looking at verse number 18, and then we're going to, because there's so much I'm going to pick out of the book of Hebrews tonight, and we are going to get to the book of Hebrews. But let's start in Romans chapter 4, verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. We are the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
And in being not weak in faith. The Bible says that Abraham was not weak in faith. He consisted not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, yet the dead is of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong. We're talking about becoming strong believers, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had, who had God had promised, he was able to perform. I'm going to start at the last verse. Because you and I have to remind ourselves time and time again, it's never us, it's all God.
Amen. Yeah.
Have is none of us is all about him. Even as we got a crazy part about the star on that night. It's all about God. God preserves us. God kept her. God touched her living body. God gave the right medical treatment, the right nurses, the right doctor, the right hospital, the right facility. God orchestrated every aspect of our healing because he's a sovereign God. He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. He's an omniscient God. That means God knows everything. Even when we know we don't know we're clueless, God knows everything. So we're going back, and Paul is writing to the church of Rome, but he's referring to Genesis chapter number 12, where God comes to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you, and those that bless you, I'll bless, those that curse you, I'll bless, curse, and you're going to be the father of all nations. Now, Abraham is 75 when God is having this conversation with him. Sarah is 60. They're old. They're already beyond childbearing years. But it says that as we fast forward, because we know the story now, how it ends, Isaac the miracle child was born. But as we fast forward to this, what we're reading now, it says he was not weak in faith. He believed. He was fully persuaded. He staggered not at the promise through unbelief. And for us to become strong believers, for you and I to become strong in our faith, for you and I to know that God will honor our faith as we honor him through faith. It says the just shall live by faith. As we do that, God honors us. Now, this is what I want to get to, and we're going to talk about it as we look at the life of Peter and the life of Abraham. Pastor, does that mean I never fall, I never fell, I never made mistakes? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It does not mean that at all, because we know those of us who are Bible readers, those of us who remember the life of Abraham and Sarah, we realize Hagar into the picture. We realize Sarah, the wife of Abraham, said, well, since God is not going to meet me and give us what he promised us, a baby of our own, go into our handmaiden Hagar and have a child with her. And Abraham took heed to her words, went to Hagar, the bond woman, had a child with her, and the Bible still says Abraham was not weak in faith. So it's not saying that we won't make mistakes, we won't fall down, we won't make errors, but it's simply saying when you fall down, give back up. That's all it's saying. When you make a mistake, dust yourself off, shake yourself loose, get back in the game. When we were coming, we went to see my mother-in-law and father for her birthday in this holiday season in 2017, 2018. But as we were coming back to New Jersey, it was a snowstorm. And the only way out of Florida back to New Jersey was a train. And I'll never forget because it snowed and the tracks, some of the tracks got a snow on it, and they kept delaying the train because they said they got to clear the snow first. And we saw stories over the last year, too, about train derailment. That simply means the train fell off the track. Amen, somebody. The train derailed, and instead of staying on the track or going somewhere, the train fell off of the track. Or people of God, when those trains fell off the track, when they tumbled off of the track, did they leave the trains on the ground? No, they took the trains, they took them back up, and they kept using those trains. Those trains got back on the track, they put those trains back on the track, and those trains got back into commission. Those trains got back traveling back and forth. Those trains, as they were back on the track, began to be back in use. Amen, somebody. And that's what God is saying. If you get off track, if I get off track, if we get off track, get back on track. Let God restore you. Let God renew you. Let God revive you. Let God get you back in the game. Because he's a merciful God. He's a God of grace. And because he's a God of grace, he's a God of a second chance. Am I the only one that needed more than a second chance? So when that train gets derailed, when that train falls off the track, if you and I get off track, our job is to get back on the track. Abraham messed up when he went to Hagar. Abraham messed up when he went outside of the will of God. And we see through the life of Abraham that becoming strong in believing is not simply being void of mistakes. And we're going to see that over in Hebrews chapter number 11, a little later on as we continue to talk. Hello, everyone, in the name of Jesus. I know we did when I was younger. I had a bike, and all the guys on the block had bikes. And I'll never forget my first bike I got. I just knew I was riding, and I ran into a fire hydrant. And I mean, it hurt something awful. But did that stop me? No. I got back on the bike because all my boys were riding their bikes, and it looked like they were having fun, and I did not want to be out of the loop. Amen? So as I got a little older, I had to just see. I'm a veteran rider now. I'm an experienced rider. And guess what? I fell again on my 2 feet bike and experienced rider. I fell, broke my front tooth on the ground. My tooth hit the ground, and I broke my tooth, cracked my tooth, had a headache that you wouldn't believe, but then it stopped me. No, I got back on that bike, and I kept riding. And that's what they're saying about Abraham. He got back in faith. He did not stagnate in unbelief. He was fully persuaded. He believed God, and he had Isaac when he was 100 years old. And Sarah had Isaac when she was 90 years old. So we got to have this discussion about this topic, becoming strong and believing. Because like he told Jacob, don't be afraid, just believe. And people like Esther, when I think about this story, she said, about perish, I'll perish. That's being strong in believing. We talked about Ruth on last week. Ruth said, when you go, I go. When you die, I die. When you live, I live. Your God is going to be my God, and your people, my people. That's strong in believing. Now go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. The Hebrew writer, something is Apollo, something is the Apostle Paul. I'm going to put Apollo because of the writing. Some people relate to the Apostle Paul because of some of the repetition that he writes in the other epistles. But I still just, somehow I'm thinking, and I guess that's why the Bible is not clear. Because if people like me, it's not going to have a theological doctrinal argument, but I just believe Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen? Hebrews chapter number 10, looking at verse number 22. We're talking about becoming. That means we're not there yet. Becoming. And if you are strong in faith, I pray after tonight you'll become stronger in faith.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the water, pure water. He says in verse number 23, let us hold fast our profession or our confession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. Verse number 25, we'll stop here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some have, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. As you came to church on Wednesday night tonight, God is saying, you're fulfilling verse number 25. He said, we're assembling ourselves together to encourage one another, to remind each other that we belong to Jesus. To remind them that God has a plan for our lives, even though it has not manifested yet. To remind ourselves and edify one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, that he who promised is faithful. Yeah. It is faithful to those of us who are faithful. That's why we got to understand that when we allow the enemy to come in and plant fear or doubt our unbelief and make us weak in faith, amen, God is saying, shake yourself loose from that and become strong in faith. And we know from Romans, I think it's around 10 verse 17, faith comes out of church by what? Hearing. By listening to the scripture, the gospel, the word of God which is living. This is how we get strong. These are the writings. These are the supplements. These are the nutrients that we need in the spirit realm. I'm feeding your spirit right now. Glory be to God. I'm feeding myself, my spirit, even as I hear all the voice in my head of myself ministering the word of God tonight. I feel my strength coming on. I feel my heart rising. I feel Jesus' joy coming up on the inside of me. And he goes on, and if you get time later in the devotion, read the entire chapter of chapter number 10, because he talks about Jesus being the last of sacrifice. We don't need goats and sheep and animals and cattle anymore. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus forgave us of our sins. It was the last sacrifice that we needed. And he's building an argument right here, saying, assemble yourself together. Glory be to God, because he is faithful who promised. Now go down to verse number 35 in the same chapter. Because I got to get some how to. Pastor, how do I become strong in believing more? How do I become stronger in my belief in the things of God? And we're going to see through verse 35 to 39 some anecdotes and some principles and some value that you and I need to add to our lives on how to become stronger in believing God in a greater way, to a greater degree. Are you at verse number 35? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35 says this, church, people of God. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense or repayment of reward. For you have need, we need this. You have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, and many of us are in the will of God, we've done the will of God, we're trying to live right, we're trying to do right. He says, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse number 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. God is going to show up. And like I said last night, he's going to show up and show out. Verse number 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, or go back, or backslide, or retreat, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse number 39, but we, you and me, who try to remain faithful to God, that's right, we are remaining faithful to God, but we are not like them who draw back, repressing, unto perdition, but of them that believe, we're becoming strong in believing, to them that believe, to the saving of the soul. We've said many times in this church, what is the soul, Pastor? The soul is your mind, the way you think, your thoughts, your ideas, what's up in your head, your positive thinking, your brain power. Your will, that desire that you have, your appetite, your hunger, whether it's godly or not godly, whether it's natural or supernatural, that thing that you desire, your will, what you will to do, what you want to do. This is the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is how the devil tricks many of us up in our emotions. When we're going through stuff, when unexpected things happen in our lives, when the devil gets the best of us and sidetracks us or sidetracks us. But glory be to God, here is the remedy that the Hebrew writer gives us. Number one, how we become stronger in believing, we can cast away our confidence. That means we have the opportunity to hold on to it or cast it away. And I don't know about you, and I pray I do know about you, but we are to get to the place in God where we put all our confidence in Christ. All our confidence is in Jesus Christ. All of our faith is in our Savior. All of our ministry, all of our problems, all of our dilemmas are all on the Messiah. Glory be to God. He says, come to me, all you who are burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If some of you need better than that, Jesus said, come on to me. I'll refuel you. I'll fill you up again. I'll make you ready to fight again. I'll revive you. I'll put the life back into you. He said, glory to God. Come to me if you're really tired and take my yoke upon you. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Glory to be to God. We are learning more about Jesus on tonight. Here it is. See, when we yoke up with him, this is how we stay strong in believing. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get weak. Sometimes I get a little weary. Sometimes I get a little worn out. Sometimes I get a little complacent. My faith is not as strong on Monday and it was sometimes on Sunday. But you preach that word. Oh, glory to God. When God brings you all the way out of the place. So when I was to work on Monday, I felt a little something in my life. Because it's allergy season, and I'm not trying to distract me. Anything that's trying to distract me, any eye and a throat trying to distract me from the judgment of God. Even on allergy season, I'm afraid of my God. Even on season and coughing, I'm afraid of my God. Even in the middle of any fire and sea, I'm afraid of God. This is your thing, suffer from afraid of my God.
Pastor Isaac, and we were headed right for this taxi cab. I mean, hitting him square on.
And all I was thinking, I was trying to, because I'm thinking I can just step myself out of this thing, but the car got total control. And all I knew my wife was driving, and that's what she said, is Jesus. And God said, after the accident, he said, yo, y'all were coming right towards me. And somehow, y'all going like a cotton ball. Somehow, I was just so soft, but you guys were heading right towards me, and I put your headlight, and I don't know what happened. But the impact was just not as hard as it could have been. It could have been so much more fierce. And that's been showing up in the next time. He sent an angel to be a cover to my heart. He sent an angel to come in between. Even if my wife didn't have the sense of a walking friend to use my words, all I can hear him say and take it in the back seat, all I can hear him have to say is Jesus. And somehow that accident wasn't that bad. Though he carried, he will show up. And it says, the just to live by faith, this has to become a lifestyle. Amen, somebody. I was working in the world, they were called a partner. Come on. So that was what, a lifestyle that I took on. Every weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every weekend, faithfully, that's called a lifestyle. Some people go to the movies, some people like to call, some people like to go on extravagant vacations. Whatever your lifestyle was before Jesus, he said your new lifestyle is that of faith. And it's all three believers and this great glory who are now living this way. He said the just, meaning the righteous, we are going to live by faith. And finally, verse number 39. Because those who draw back, they're not going to get recompense. They're not going to get paid back. They're not going to get retribution. They're not going to get reward. Those that go back, God can't honor that. Help me, God. Let's think about him on honor. Go over to chapter number 11. We're still in Hebrews. Verse number 1. Pastor, you saying God on blood? God on blood. His nature is the blood. He's a good God. He brings up the just and the unjust of every single day. He gives to the evil and the good every single day. He gives to the Christian and the saint and the unbeliever, the Muslim, the Mormon, the Buddhist. He's just a good God. So God's going to always bless. God's going to always give. God's going to always extend grace. But when he's saying it, there are certain conditions that you and I need to put into place if we want to become strong believers and get what we're believing God for. Amen. Because if we become strong in believing, right here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. Now I think it is some of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand this, that the world, not just the earth, the planet, the universe, the orbit, the galaxy, the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. God is saying, remember what we're in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now in our generation, we have this thing called evolution. They try to teach our people who are taking formal education that there was this big bang, this big bomb, and how people evolved from apes and gorillas and the devil in the body. So we got to know when we go to higher education, when we go off to college, when we go to institutions where maybe an atheist is your professor. Come on. When you go on the job and you believe in God by faith that Jesus is the Son of the living God, he says here in Hebrew that God spoke and the world became as it is. And Sunday he created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And on Sunday he rested from all his work. Are y'all with me? And it says right here that the things that we see were formed from the invisible things we can't see. Our eyes, we can't hear, taste, feel, touch. Our five senses. It says the things that we see were formed by the words of God. What are you saying, Pastor Anthony? I'm simply saying your word can make your world. The words that you speak out of your mouth, the words that you say out of your mouth, whether they're positive or negative, are going to form the world that you're trying to create for yourself. Because positive, when you speak positive, it comes positive like a magnet to you. When you speak negativity, it comes negativity like a magnet to you. That's why a person who finds himself complaining, and sometimes murmuring, and sometimes not believing God because God will do what he said he will do, they see it going from bad to worse. Why? Because your words have power. I'm talking about those of us who believe. Our words create letters of man in our image and in our likeness. Who is the man, I'm not going to live, but Psalm, I think it's John 8 chapter. Who is the man that thou art mindful of him? God has made him a little lower than the angels. And God is saying, as he created us, with his characteristics, his ability, his nature, he can now say to your life and death is in the power of your tongue. Speak those things that mean not as though they are, because your words have authority. Jesus said, I have given you authority that what you find will be found. What you lose, it will be lose. So when he said it last night, when Zaza or when Israel was born, it was prayer. A woman, I'm going to walk down the street so quickly. I'm wondering, I see you. I'm for a family that prayer, family that pray, family that has faith, pastors that come together, Christians that come together and pray for the weak. Come on. I'm for a family of believers. I'm for a brother of brothers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we pray for our family members, when we pray for our loved ones, when we share the word of God and we speak the word of God, things begin to happen. Hebrews chapter 11, now we're in verse number 4. Listen to the word. It says, by faith, this is the calm and Jason and Samuel tonight. By faith, Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By which he obtained the witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts. And being dead, he yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated, not unto death, but he was not found, because God had translated him, and before the translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, this is what I want to get to tonight, and this is why I say we can't cast away our confidence. We can't let the devil take our patience. We got to live by faith and not by sight. We can't work back and go back, because verse 6 says, but with our faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So to the atheists, they're not going to get certain rewards from God because they don't believe that he is, and that he exists. To the agnostic or those who are of faith, who are saying, glory be to God, that Jesus is just a prophet, but not the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It says they are coming to God on another, on different terms. Because they were to come to God on first believe that who is, that God is. And that God will give you and I reward. God will give you and I the things that we need for a successful life. God will give us all the things that we need for turning to good and gaining in godliness. And we got to go through it tonight, but it's also going to say, when we diligently seek him, like come to church on Wednesday night. When we had children tonight, and we show the things of God. That means discipline. That means discernment. That means courage to say, God, others say they have faith, but like James said, I'm showing you my faith, but what I do, not just what I say. Amen? And that's the kind of faith God wants to see, and I say, and it says, when you do that, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, when we diligently seek him, there's no favor in our family.
Of our faith. He's saying,
When you and I become strong in believing, when we become stronger believers, when we become strong in our faith, now we have the ability to lay down, willfully set aside, willfully lay down things that have a stronghold on our lives in years past, those familiar spirits, those strongholds, those generational curses, the things that you could move us and make us and shape us and control us. He says now, the weight lay it down.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I walked on unforgiveness. That was a weight.
Yeah.
And it's a topic and a subject that so many of us in the Christian faith have to deal with. We have to deal with that father or that mom that we think didn't do right by us. We have to deal with that ex-husband or wife that we think did not do right by us. We have to deal with the opposite side of the job and work that sparked us with no real resentment or no real reason for laying us off. We got to deal with forgiving the friends that backstab us or the ones that betrayed us. So this weight of forgiveness is us, this weight of unforgiveness. Because it's a weight. Amen? And when we walk around, God says, one of the weapons of our work and our armor, they might go pull down some of the name of Jesus is the weapon. I don't know what this I think about 2 weeks ago. The word of God is a weapon. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. Your testimony is a weapon. Obedience is a weapon. And right here, this is the weapon of pure heart.
Come on. Yes.
Jesus, the reason he was so powerful in his early ministry. They tried to stone him, they tried to kill him, they tried to crucify him before he was crucified, but he always fought with love. Even to the death of the cross, when he said, Father, forgive them, so they know not what they do. So he always knew the importance of keeping his heart right. And when we do what the Hebrew writer is saying, lay aside the weight. It's not just these moral things. It's not just things that are unholy and ungodly and immoral, but anger can be a weight.
Yeah.
Fear can be a weight. Amen?
Amen.
Low self-esteem can become a weight. And he says, you now, because your faith is strong as you believe, you have the ability, just like I'm letting this right now, to lay that thing down just like that. And many of us don't do it, we don't walk away from the time, because guess what? That's why we're preaching and talking tonight about becoming stronger, because when my wife and I was in Jamaica, we didn't plan on about drinking. I mean, this is not premeditated. But when the Spirit spoke to the both of us, not just the one of us, we knew. Because we've been forced to God, you know, to whisper, we knew we had the ability to what, ladies and gentlemen, and enjoy our honeymoon. And we paid too much money to go to Jamaica and put our feet in the ocean and eat all kinds of crabs and crab cakes and seafood and go to visit the island of Jamaica. We paid too much and wanted to have too great a honeymoon to not listen to God that's given us a solution how we can have a good time. And he's saying to us tonight, when you become strong and believing, great things begin to happen. Go with the Hebrews chapter number 12, now go to chapter number 13, and we get out of Hebrews. 13, verse number 1. Let brotherly love continue. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says about love, or clinging grasp, or seeking simple, love of themselves. He says, let brotherly love continue. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Do you know that there are human beings that can be angels? I know some people don't believe this. I love what God has in his mind. Anybody run that show with the cat and mom and the death angel? And indeed, they were really mean. And you recall, but when it comes to the angelic assignment, then a halo of the light will come on. That all of them thought they were just human beings, but they were angels, unaware. And then they got that strip from, because sometimes we don't know that we're entertaining angels unaware. Verse number 4, I'm not going to talk about it, but I need to read it. Man does not want to call on the manifest of the Father. Calling the adulterers will be judged by God. Go down to verses 6 and 7. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my call, and I will not fear what man can do to me. I mean, I can talk the rest of the night right there. We can say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. Verse number 7, remember them which have a rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's talking about your pastor. Verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me just break it down and get out of here real quick. He says, let brotherly love continue. We ought to always walk in love. Then he says this, say boldly, God is my help. Say boldly, my help comes from the Lord. Say boldly, if God is before me, who can be against me? Say boldly, I've got angels watching over me. I've got a supernatural protection over my life. I know we're in the same, but there's a lot of violence, and there's a lot of unexpected things. So, by the way, I'm going to keep that point. But by the way, I just want to throw this out there. If all of our things are numbered, and that's the word, because we're on Psalm 90. In reality, there is no such thing as accidental death in the sight of God. Amen? So go back and read Psalm number 90, because he said, this is why we got to apply wisdom and apply our minds to knowledge, because our faith is numbered. So it's not time. Oh, glory. It's not time for us to connect with the wrong people, to listen to the wrong voices. But he's saying right here, verse number 7, those that have not rule over you like a ruler over you, like a taskmaster, but it's saying, we're your pastor, we're your spiritual covering, we're watching over your soul, we pray over you and your family. Come on, somebody. We believe God, and we have given your destination in God. We're simply giving you the word of God. We're reminding you to meditate on God's word, and it will not come back for it. And it says, follow the destiny. Definitely God for their children, like you believe God for your children. Follow the destiny. Definitely God for their children, for their lives, to the family here at home. You have to follow their faith, because your life is going through.
And Jesus and Peter saw
says, this is my son. He's the witness, John's going to be raised from the dead. He's the witness, Lazarus coming forth. Peter saw all of that, and right here, he has a conversation with Peter, who is strong in believing. Peter's already strong in believing. Because when Jesus said, who the man is that I am, Peter said, you're the son of a living God. He said, Peter, I am Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and say that hell will not prevail against it. He said, but Peter, brothers and brothers, did not teach you this. Seminary did not teach you this. Our apostles of our book did not teach you this. Our Father in heaven gave you that revelation. And I don't want you to keep the kingdom of heaven. And what you find will be found. What you lose will be lost. Peter had all these great characteristics. But Peter had one thing that God wanted to get out of him and needed to get out of him, and it's called one word, pride. Pride. There's so many people who having confidence is greater. Being self-assured is greater. Having high self-esteem is wonderful. But when it flips over into pride and arrogance, God has to deal with it. Pride comes before a fall. And he knew Peter was prideful. Let's see how he did pride. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. God only allows things that happen to us to get things out of us. There's some things that's on the inside of you and me. Sometimes we don't know it's there. And sometimes God needs to expose it so we can deal with it. Amen? Luke 22, verse 31. Are you there, people of God? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you and send you a week. But I have prayed, Simon, for you that your faith shall not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Here's pride speaking. Now, Jesus just told you, amen, Satan wants to have you. Simon said that. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Verse 34, he said, Jesus, Peter, the rooster cock shall not crow this day three times before you deny that you know me. Go to John chapter 21. No, I'm sorry. Stay in Luke 22. Go down to verse 54. Jesus told us, Simon, Satan decided to take you as weak. Jesus, I'm ready to die with you, I'm ready to go to prison with you. Peter, you're going to deny me three times, you're going to rooster crow three times. Verse 54, we still Luke 22, 31. Then he obeyed him and led him and brought him to the high priest, the house. And Peter followed him afar off. Peter was following. They denied Jesus ready to crucify him. And when they had entered the fire and had this, and he sat down, Peter sat down with the people. But a certain man, David, said, as he sat by the fire, earnestly, looked upon him, this man was with him. And he denied him, saying, I know him not. Verse 58, a little while later, they saw him, and they saw him again, and said, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. And Peter said, I am not. Then I am twice. Verse number 59. And about the space of 1 hour, an hour later, I denied his grace. Another one confidently affirmed, saying, of a true my devil, you are a true young lady. And Peter said, man, I know him not. And immediately, the rooster crowed. Amen. Now go to John 21. John 21. We're going to wrap up today. John 21. The book of John 21. It doesn't mean that Peter was weak in believing. Doesn't mean that he was, you know, speak for what he believed. I'm glad he had confidence that he would die for Jesus. I'm glad he had confidence that he would go to jail for Jesus. I'm glad he was strong in his belief. But there's something on the inside of us that will be amazed what can shake us. We'll be amazed at how it can be if Jesus allowed it, if God allowed it, the Holy Spirit allowed it. We'll be amazed what we can't take. So God, even in his grace, don't allow certain things to come to our lives. Even though sometimes we think life is so bad, so horrible, there's certain things not even allowed to come to you as well. John 21. Verse number 14. Thank you, Jesus. Go to verse 15 because of time. So when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him, for the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him, the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And feed my sheep. Peter got a revelation that he should have got over in Luke, and that should have been his response. Jesus, you know all things. But he had tried. Amen. And just like he denied Christ three times, Jesus had to restore him with three confirmations. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because over here, he denied me three times. And Jay, I don't know how to work, but I know you can pass all those three. But I know those three. Now that God has been restored, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I work in Hoboken and they're laying a lot of piping under the ground, a lot of wire under the ground, because of Sandy, when Hurricane Sandy hit Hoboken, a lot of lights, a lot of electricity, a lot of poles. Now they're putting wire and electrical piping underneath the ground. And every time a regular storm comes or a big storm comes, there's a lot of flooding. So they're putting a lot of piping underneath the ground. But as they paint the ground, you can't see what's under that ground. But it's all that work underneath. And my final point tonight is that God is more concerned about what's on the inside of us than what's on the outside of us. Because what's on the inside controls everything on the outside. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, we're going to pray. If there's anyone that needs prayer tonight, I pray you was blessed by this blessing. We're going to pray. Because we want to become strong in belief. We want to become strong in our faith. We want to become stronger in believing God. Because some of us are trying to do some great things in our lives, and there's some insurmountable things that for us to accomplish, we know we need God's help. There's some big mountains we're trying to climb, and without God, we know we can't do it. So as we pray tonight, we believe in God by faith that He's going to do the impossible in our lives. Father Jesus, you're also blessed everyone on this Wednesday night, this word Wednesday. They receive your word by faith, God, in the name of Jesus. And even if they come by hearing and hearing the word of God tonight, God, please make us stronger. I believe they're going to fortify. I believe you're building a great foundation and word by word in the name of Jesus. Now, God, you're making them smarter. You're making them wiser. You're giving them more power. You're allowing them to have more discernment and wisdom and knowledge. These are supernatural gifts that only you can give us. Thank God for education. But God, there's some things in our life that we need you to do and you alone. But God, in the name of Jesus, oh, I feel the glory. I thank you, hallelujah. As we watch over our families, as we believe by faith tonight that our daily God are blessed by you. When we wake up in the morning, we say thank you, Jesus, because we know that something is here. So when we refuse to play, we know that we have to get into the church when somebody's in prison, somebody's in a hospital. So God, in the name of Jesus, we believe by faith tonight that you're going to have a promise of what you said you were going to do. You said we are the world of honor and adventure of our faith, and this name is Jesus. So God, help us to make that unforgiving. Help us to continue our work with that and we're angry with it. Help us, God, to clean our hearts up. Because people who come out of the world or they die, are always here with us. They don't know how precious the enemy has made them. We know people are good, deep down. We know that our babies have a lot of love on the outside. We know that people want us to love and not be angry. But the devil got a hold of them. So those of us who are stronger, those of us that have faith, help us to pray for our family members who are weak in faith right now. Help us to pray with all those who are struggling to lay down sin and struggling to lay down weight that hold us down. Help us, God, to put the fragments and pieces of our life together tonight. In the serenity prayer, God, help me to change the things that I have changed. Help me, God, to accept the things that I cannot change. And God, give me the wisdom to know the difference. So when I touch on people tonight, I know they're blessed. I know they're highly favored. I know their minds are being renewed by you. I know the Spirit of God is on them like fire. I know the anointing of their lives and this season of their life is like something they've never experienced. I feel holy when I touch you too. Oh, glory. Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, God, I felt it and I heard it, oil. There's a fresh oil on both of you. Oh, my God. Oh, God. And I felt it, oil, with that oil. It's a fresh and sweet. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. And there's anybody sitting in our family, just go, hug, big man. I ain't telling what you're doing. Oh, God. Oh, God. Just got a question that needs to be in my mind. Don't even let them know you're praying in the spirit realm. Don't even let them know you're praying in sight of me. But there's an oil. There's an anointing on the book and it's fresh. And it's so, oh, oh. There's healing in there, prosperity in there. There's a fresh oil. Oh, my God. My God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Oh, 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 my God. Jesus. Even as you press at the car, God said, because those who diligently seek me, I'm going to reward them. And I know there's nothing that gives you that motherly approach that gives you more glad that your children do well. You're that kind of a mother. You're a good mother. You're a good grandmother. And when your children do well, your heart will be glad. When they serve God, your heart is glad. When they call on you, Jesus, your heart is glad. And your actions tonight, they're not here for you here. Or they're not your natural brother, but in your spiritual brother, that's leading the right way to God. Or the glory to God. In your spiritual that you call, the patriarch, your family. In the name of Jesus, go to God, the brother, and go. Tell us your grandchildren in the name of Jesus. Because you see God's presence in you tonight. You can't stop glory to God. You can't go to God for me. Go to my faith, get it strong and believe it. For the first you press out and heard the word of the Lord, God said, I'm going to bless her. I'm going to reward her. I'm going to be her picture. I'm going to be her contribution. I'm going to help her. I'm going to be her support for the people. I'm going to be you can't wait and try to be her back. And not be her all day long. And turn me on the way. I'm going to be you can't wait and try to be her back.
Sunday, we tie it and give that off, and you can tie it on Wednesday if you want to. But
You can just come to hospital, get a benediction, and we'll go home in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Online, you can go to nccmonline.org and give a donation, $10, $50, $100. Everything helps this ministry. Keep the door for the church open. We've been in ministry for 12 years now. God has done it in Jesus' name. And thank you, amen, for your faithful giving. Amen. We're going to pray out. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the gift and the giver. Thank you for those that came out tonight. You said, draw near to me, I'm drawing near to you. So, God, I thank you for the creation church, every member, every family represented, that as they go back to their homes, let them know that their place of dwelling is blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace and serve your God. Good night, everyone.